supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Congressional redistricting is a popular topic in Pennsylvania these days, especially after the state Supreme Court declared the state's current map unconstitutional. And drawing new lines has become the biggest political puzzle in Harrisburg. But a group of middle schoolers in suburban Philadelphia gave it a shot, and as Keystone Crossroads contributor Avi Wolfman Aaron found out, they didn't think it's all that hard.
But you have 3/4 of 24.
Right. John Kimmel teaches 8th grade math at Westtown, a private Quaker school about 25 miles outside Philadelphia. Now, usually he deals with polynomials, not politics. And he was doing just that earlier this year when he gave his students an exercise about how to group different shapes on a grid.
So I just brought it to my students as a puzzle.
After completing the puzzle, one of the students said,
"This is a lot like gerrymandering."
That's when the light bulb went off. Kimmel asked his students if they could redraw Pennsylvania's contentious congressional map. The students figured it might be tough. Turns out,
it's not very difficult.
Isaac Lind is one of Kimmel's students.
I mean, it didn't take that long for us to complete these maps.
In just 10 class periods, the students blended census data with basic middle school math like ratios and percentages to churn out a bunch of new maps. Some of them focused on creating an even split between the two parties. Others aimed for geographic compactness. The students, like Daniel Sellers Johnston, say their maps look more logical than the current version.
Even the one that was generated randomly was way better than it. And that was generated using the roll of a die. That should say something about the current map.
A lot of the students were surprised at how mathematically easy it was to generate new maps that looked less contorted than the status quo. But if it's easy to make normal-looking maps, what do the students now think about the process of drawing district lines?
It's this whole giant thing, and just basically it corrupts the entire government.
I knew the government was corrupt, but I mean, I know it was this corrupt.
I look at it and I say our government is really, really corrupt because it's not equal at all.
But where the kids see corrupt, the U.S. Supreme Court has so far only seen politics as usual. And after decades of complaints from both Democrats and Republicans, the court hasn't come up with an objective legal standard for when political influence goes too far. In an unprecedented move, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did recently invalidate Pennsylvania's map as a partisan gerrymander. But the debate is far from over. Governor Tom Wolf and top state Republicans are now in the midst of a mapping duel, pitting what one side sees as fair and competitive versus what the other sees as compact and legal. If they need any help, teacher John Kimmel knows a dozen 8th graders looking for extra credit.
I think that they have seen that they can make some observations and do some work and show adults that they could do a better job than the adults.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court says a new map will be in place by Monday to be used for the congressional primaries in May. For Keystone Crossroads, I'm Avi Wolfman Aaron.
10 years ago on Broadway, a singer and composer who calls himself Stu starred in a Broadway show about his life. The show, Passing Strange, came long before the blockbuster Hamilton, but like that show, Passing Strange tells its story by mixing new and old musical styles, specifically traditional rock, punk, and gospel. Passing Strange is currently being staged in Philadelphia by Wilma Theater in a production that WHYY's Howard Shapiro says is better than Broadway's. He offers this review.
This story of a disaffected middle-class black kid who bolts from his L.A. home and heads to Europe on a journey of self-exploration seems so much more real at the Wilma production than it did on Broadway. That's important, because what's real and what's not is at the core of the engrossing Passing Strange, which the performer Stu created with his writing partner, Heidi Rodewald. Stu won a Tony Award for writing the show's clever and intense book, and many admirers, count me as one of them, were disappointed that the show never really took off. At the Wilma, in the staging of the estimable international director Tia Alagich, Passing Strange becomes a grand yet intimate piece of musical theater. Each scene seems to take on a whole new way of delivering the show. It's the story of a boy called Youth in the script, and its telling is guided by a character called Narrator. Youth is a tour de force performance from Jamar Williams, a young actor and singer who uses his eyes to reveal everything his character thinks, and his body to show us he's busting out of something. The narrator is the expressive Chris Coleman. Here's the show's super four-piece band during a rehearsal. Passing Strange is more than a coming-of-age story. Youth's search for what's real, spurred by drugs, politics, and social change, takes him to Amsterdam, where the rules are much looser than he could have imagined. Then it's on to Berlin, where he makes friends who challenge the accepted order of a divided city through their punky writing and performance art. In his search to find something that may not exist, the definition of being meaningfully real, Youth confronts defining himself. What does it mean to pass yourself off as a ghetto kid because it suits your friendships and your performance art? What's the basis for belonging to a person or to a concept? Can you sever yourself from your roots? At the Wilma, these questions become highlighted in stunning theatrical ways as the show moves forward. Passing Strange runs through February 18th. For WHYY, I'm Howard Shapiro.
Last weekend, the Actors Union SAG-AFTRA released its new guidelines and codes of conduct related to sexual harassment in the film and television industry. WHYY's Peter Kearns reports that its first session with its members to explain the guidelines took place last night in Philadelphia.
After bombshell sexual misconduct allegations against Hollywood titan Harvey Weinstein went public last fall, the Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, wanted its members to brush up on existing laws pertaining to harassment. SAG took 4 months to make a very careful and deliberate document of guidelines and codes of conduct, including non-legal advice on how to defuse a workplace situation before it merits legal action. SAG-AFTRA's National Director of Equal Employment and Opportunity, Adam Moore, says what happens with actors can have a ripple effect across society.
What happens and plays out in this industry is incredibly visible and can lead by example and by modeling what can be possible in this often fraught environment. As good as we can do, it should be pretty easy for most other workplaces to do better as well.
The SAG Blue Ribbon Commission on Safety wrote up guidelines including education, peer support networks, and early intervention tips to nip uncomfortable behavior in the bud before calling a lawyer. Those recommendations are available to anyone on the SAG website. Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has a message for President Donald Trump. No drilling off the Jersey Shore. The Democrat was speaking via video link at an environmental rally before a federal hearing about Trump's plan to open most of the nation's coastline to oil and gas drilling. Opponents of the plan have staged boisterous rallies because the federal agency overseeing it won't allow them to speak at meetings. Authorities say 7 members of a gun trafficking ring that transported illegal firearms from Ohio to New Jersey have been indicted on several charges, including racketeering and conspiracy. New Jersey Attorney General Gurbir Grewal announced the indictment this afternoon, saying at least 30 guns made their way between the two states from April 2016 through July of last year. Chemical company Dow DuPont is set to transfer up to 150 of its Pennsylvania Specialty Products Division employees to Delaware next year. The News Journal of Wilmington reports the March 2019 move comes as a precursor to the company's split into 3 independent entities. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at whyy.org/news. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Heller, NewsWorks Tonight.